Well, given that it's a special celebration, Child Dedication Sunday today, I wanted us to look at a passage of Scripture that is very relevant for that. It's relevant in all of our lives, whether you're a parent or not, whether you have kids or not, but it's especially a passage that's relevant for parents that we're going to look at this morning. But before we get into our text for today, I brought a prop up front here. Anybody know what this is? Somebody already says it. Yes, a baton. Has anyone ever ran in a relay race and passed off one of these babies? Okay, I see a lot of hands, especially the track coach in the back. I see you. You for sure have. So one of the most exciting events to watch in track and field is a relay race, right? Where they're passing the baton. And if you were to YouTube, relay baton fails, you would see a long list of great runners, even in the Olympics, that have derailed their Olympic dreams just because of the baton transitions or baton drop or something like that. In a relay race, there's an exchange zone. And in that zone where they are to exchange that baton, someone is responsible, number one, to pass the baton, right? To pass the baton to the person in front of them, the runner in front of them. Another person is responsible to receive that baton to whoever is passing it from behind. So there's a person that passes the baton, I'm going to set that down, and a person that receives the baton. Now, the question I want us to ask today, that I want to ask you today, is how can parents especially, pass the baton of faith? Not a physical baton, but a spiritual baton. How can parents pass the baton of faith in God to future generations? How do you do that? How do you pass the baton of faith? Now, as I said, passing the baton spiritually, in one sense, that's a call to every single follower of Jesus Christ, right? Because as followers of Jesus, we're called to be on mission with Christ, to make disciples, to pour our lives into others. Each of us, in one sense, have a spiritual baton to pass, to impact future generations, to point other people to Jesus Christ with our lips, speaking the truth of the gospel, and with our lives, living out our faith in Jesus. But I'm thinking especially today of the responsibility God has given to parents. Yes, your child, ultimately, they have to receive the baton, right? They have to grab onto it. They have to grab onto it to make that choice of ownership of their faith, make it their own in their own lives. We know that. And what a reminder as parents that is of how utterly dependent on the grace of God that we are, right? That our kids ultimately have to make that own decision whether to follow God or to not follow God. But we have a responsibility, you have a responsibility as parents on how you are passing the baton. How you're passing the baton to make it all the easier for that baton to be received by your kids. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 9, Moses, he urges the Israelites to pass on their faith in God to future generations. So I want to look at that command, that vision, that urging of Moses to the nation of Israel, and look at some applications in our lives as parents, in your lives as parents and families. So a little background leading up to where we're at in Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy is the last of five books. It's the last of the five books of the Pentateuch, the books of the law, the first books of the Old Testament. And when we jump into chapter 6 of Deuteronomy, we're coming onto the scene at a strategic place in the history of Israel, the nation of Israel, because they had been led out of Egypt, out of bondage, out of slavery by Moses. God had performed, if you remember, great miracles. He had split the Red Sea. The nation of Israel had walked through on dry land to flee from the Egyptians. God saved them. God redeemed them. God delivered them by a mighty, strong hand. But then the nation of Israel, the Israelites, they rebelled against the Lord God. And because of that, they wandered in the desert for 40 years. where a whole generation died off. And a new generation God brought into the promised land of Israel that he had promised centuries before to people like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. So in Deuteronomy 6, they're standing at the edge of that promised land, ready to inherit it, ready to go into it. And that's where Moses gives this strategic call and speech and really message and sermon to the nation of Israel about passing on the their faith in God to future Israelites, future generations. Look at what he says, Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 through 9. We've got the verses on the screen for you to follow along there as well. Moses says, verse 1, "Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it." So they're standing on the edge of it. "That you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I commanded you, all the days of your life, that your days may be long. Hear, therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets before your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." So this is the question that we're asking today as we look at this text. How can parents pass the baton of faith in God to future generations? How do you do that? How do we do that? Well, there's three responsibilities that I want to highlight here that we see in these first 9 verses of Deuteronomy 6. Three responsibilities so that parents can have a lasting gospel impact upon their children. Let's look at the first one. Verses 1 through 3. First of all, parents must be careful to walk in obedience before their God. Parents must be careful to walk in obedience before their God. Israel had entered into this covenant relationship with the one true God, the creator of the universe, who had delivered them from slavery and bondage in Egypt. Their responsibility in that covenant was obedience. Their obligation was obedience. But notice, obedience to God, it was a joyful response to the deliverance, to the redemption that God had already done in their lives. They were responding to what God had done, to God's initiative. So they weren't obeying in the sense that they were doing that to be right with God through their performance. They weren't obeying God so that they might gain favor with him through their obedience, but it was a response to what he had done in their lives. Much the same it is in our lives. We respond through obedience to what God has done through his son, Jesus Christ. So for you as a parent, walking in obedience, it begins with experiencing faith in Jesus Christ through a personal relationship as your Lord and as your Savior. If you have not come into a relationship with Jesus and said, "Jesus, I want you to forgive me of my sin. I trust in what you have done on the cross, dying in my place, what you have done rising from the grave to give me new life. I believe in you. I want to follow you." If you have not done that, that's your first and foremost responsibility as a parent. You can't begin to pass a baton of faith until you experience that faith yourself in Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior. And then the result, the fruit of that faith in Christ is obedience before God. Perfect obedience? No. No way. But continually obeying God, turning from sin, following in a life of obedience in front of your kids. And obeying God produces some positive results. Look at what it says. Obedience produces a godly heritage. How many of you have ever gone with if you've had young kids, walked up to a lake in the summer, maybe even Lake Superior, where there's tons of stones at the shoreline, right? Up by the North Shore. Walk up to the lake. What's the first thing your kids want to do? They grab a rock and like instinctively want to throw it out into the water, right? It's fun. And admit it, as an adult, you want to do the same thing, right? Even if you're not supposed to, there's something like within you that wants to throw that rock. And when that rock hits the water and impacts the water, what does it do? It sends out ripples, circles. Depending on how big the rock is, right, the ripple effect is bigger. And that's kind of like what you are doing in your lives as parents. You are having a ripple effect for future generations in the lives of your kids. Now, is that a ripple effect for godliness? Is that a ripple effect for the gospel, for faith in God? Or is it a ripple effect for other things, right? Other things that you don't want to have a legacy for, heritages that you don't want to pass on. What heritage are you leaving? What ripple effect are you having? So obedience produces a godly heritage, but obedience also leads to other results. It produces a life of blessing. Look at what Moses says again. He tells the Israelites, obey God. Why? So that you may enjoy long life, so that it will go well with you. What's he saying there? Well, he says something very similar at the end of chapter 6 as well, which we didn't read, but listen to what he says, verses 24 and 25. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, so that he might preserve us alive as we are this day. And it will be righteousness for us if we're careful to do all this commandment before the Lord our God as he has commanded us. So God didn't give us the Bible. God didn't give us his commands because he wanted to make us miserable or see how much fun he could hold us back from, right? Or keep us from. But he's given us his word. He's given us the scriptures. He's given us himself because he wants us to experience true satisfaction, true life, true enjoyment, to experience true life in him and following him and knowing Jesus. So in other words, obedience to God as a parent, it's in your best interest. That's what Moses is saying. He's like, it's in your best interest. God wants the best for you. That's why he's giving you these commands from his word. So the one of the worst things that you could say as a parent is to your kids, do as I say, but not as I do, right? That's about the worst thing you could say, because your life is even more powerful than your words, because they see that, and then they measure the credibility of your words by what they see in your life. God's call is for personal obedience in our lives as parents. Well, what's the second responsibility? How else can parents pass on that spiritual baton of faith in God to future generations? Look at verses 4 and 5. Parents must be consumed with loving their God. Parents must be consumed with loving their God. So this second responsibility, it's very similar to the first one. The first one was obedience. The second one is love. And loving and obeying, you can't separate those. The Ten Commandments are a summary of the entire law. You could summarize the entire law of Moses in the Old Testament with the Ten Commandments. And verse 5 is a summary of the Ten Commandments. Verse 5 says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. So loving God, it requires a right perception of God. It requires knowing who the God is that you are loving, right? Having a right view of God that is shaped from his word, that is shaped from your own experience with that God. Israel was about to enter a land, the land of Canaan, which was filled with groups of people, different people groups that worshiped all kinds of false gods, all kinds of gods other than the one true God, idols, all kinds of things. And Moses says in verse 4, what does he say? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. In other words, there is no other. The God that you worship, the God of the Bible, is the one true God. Let your lives testify to that. That would send a ripple into the next generation. So one of the keys as parents in the lives of your kids One of the most important things for you to think about, here it is. The most important thing you think about is what you think about when you think about God. Okay? The most important thing for you to think about is what you're thinking about when you think about God. Now, that's a tongue-twisting way to say your view of God is of utmost importance, because that shapes and impacts your kids. Is it the God of the Bible? Is it the one true God? So your perception of God is important, but loving God also involves an increasing passion for God, growing in that love of God. Jesus said that loving God, it's the greatest commandment in the law. He summarized the whole Old Testament with verse 5, Deuteronomy 6:5. If you truly love God with all that you are, your whole person, your heart, your soul, your might, your strength, the result will be that you love others. A right love for God overflows into love for people who are created in the image of God and who God loves. So as you embrace God's heart, as you love God, you can't help but overflow in love for people. That's why Jesus said loving God is the most important commandment. Everything else is a downstream trickle from that in our lives. God wants every aspect of who we are to be engaged in pursuing Him. This ever-increasing, lifelong pursuit of love for God, growing in love for who He is, knowing Him more deeply. Let me give you an illustration. This last spring break, my family and I, we went to Arizona to visit my wife's mom, who lives down there over the winter. And we were in the Phoenix area, and one of the things that we wanted to do was go on a more difficult hike with our kids, because they're getting older, 16 years old and 14 years old. So we did a hike of 1 mile elevation. I think it was, 6 miles round trip. It's called the Flatiron. So it's southeast of the Phoenix area near Mesa in the Superstition Mountains. It was the second time I've done the hike. I think it was at least the third time that my wife Sarah has done it. But it's a hard hike. And here's a picture I have on the screen. It's a little hard to tell, but this is a picture from the top. And the cool thing that day is it was abnormally colder in Phoenix. And up from the top of the Flatiron, you're almost level with the clouds. And in the distance, you could see other mountains with snow on the top. It's a great view, and you've got the shadows from the clouds down below. It's an awesome view. And, you know, pursuing God, when you think about that in our lives, it's kind of like climbing a mountain, like this. You go higher, you climb higher, you move higher, and you get a better view of God, and you're like, oh, I want to go even higher to increase my view. Like, I wonder what the view is like from up there, right? You can see the peak, you can see the summit, you keep climbing, and the higher you go, the better your view of God becomes. Just like in our lives, the more that we love God, the more that we pursue God, the better we see Him, the deeper we know Him, and the more we want of Him. The more we want of Him in our lives. Let me ask you a question, parents. What do your kids need most from you? What do your kids need most from you? Think about that. How would parents in our day, how would parents in our lives around us, in the world around us, answer that? They might say things like, oh, well, they need me to provide for them. They need me to provide financial stability, a stable home. Or maybe even they need me to love them, they need me to care for them. Or some parents would say, one of my main responsibilities is to set them up educationally, to get them in the right schools. Or maybe if they're athletes, to get them in the right sports programs or the right club teams, or to put away money so that I can help them pay for their college education or pay for all of their college tuition, whatever it might be, to help set them up for success as responsible members of society, right? None of those things are necessarily bad things in and of themselves, but let me tell you, as you look at passages like Deuteronomy 6, and as you look at the call of God to parents in the Bible, in the Scriptures, the most important thing your kids need from you is that you would genuinely love Jesus. The most important thing, as a parent is that you would love Jesus Christ with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your strength. Because if you don't have that right, everything downstream is going to be messed up. But if you have that right, the most important thing, that Jesus Christ is in the center of your life, that's going to set you up for far more success. And that's the most important thing your kids need from you. Because out of that, you overflow in love to them. Well, third and last responsibility here in Deuteronomy 6. How can parents pass the baton of faith in God to future generations? Verses 6 through 9. Parents must be committed to entrusting God's truth to their children. Parents must be committed to entrusting God's truth to their children. Notice verse 6. The word of God was to be engraved on the heart of every Israelite. Now, obviously a metaphor. They weren't tattooing scripture onto their hearts, right? But a metaphor that the word of God, the scriptures, God's testimony, God's commandments were to be so a part of your life that it's like they're engraved, carved into, like a sculptor carves onto their hearts. Parents, you are to engrave the word of God into the lives and the hearts of your kids. God's intent was Israel was to be a light to the nations. And one of the primary training grounds for that to happen was in the home. That mission of being a light to the nations, that baton to future generations, homes, households, families, that was the most important unit for that baton to be passed, just as it is today, that their homes would be saturated with the word of God. And Moses uses some metaphors to describe these characteristics of that saturating your household with the word of God, with the characteristics of a parent's teaching. Look what he says. Teaching should be four things. Teaching should be done diligently, repeatedly, naturally, and personally. So diligently, verse 7, this picture of a parent who is engraving the word of God into the hearts of their kids, like a sculptor. Repeatedly, over regular times, as you're coming, as you're going, reading, discussing the scriptures. Repeatedly. Third, naturally, as you're going about life, using the different moments of life as opportunities, as teaching moments in the lives of your kids. To teach about God, to talk about His Word, to talk about principles from Scripture or questions related to the things of God or the Word of God. I'll tell you, as I reflect back, having teenagers now and over the last years that we've had the joy of being parents so far, the best conversations that I've had, at least with my kids, the best conversations about God, about the Bible, about theological issues or questions, they've been conversations that haven't been planned. They haven't been planned. They've just come up as we're going about life, as we're riding in the car together to go to an activity or something like that. It's been conversations that God opens the door, and maybe my kids ask me questions and we have a great, great conversation, but it's as you're going about life that you're needing to be ready for. It happens naturally, this teaching. And then finally, personally, diligently, repeatedly, naturally, and personally. Antioch Kids Ministry is an awesome thing. I am thrilled that after over a year that we were able to open it up again. We've been waiting for this after a long year, right? And you can see the kids as they leave, they're so excited to be together with their friends and other kids in our church family. But think about it. At best, the time spent in kids' ministry for a kid here at Antioch, it's at best 50 hours in an entire year. At best. Now, what does that tell us? Well, if we look at the Bible, like our kids' ministry talks about a lot, the responsibility to train up children falls primarily to parents. Parents are the chief disciple makers in the lives of their kids. And the church's responsibility is to come alongside parents to help them to do that in the best way that they can, to the best of their ability, to shepherd their kids. Not the job of the church to disciple your kids, but to equip you as parents to do that. It's exactly what we see here in Deuteronomy 6. So the question that we've been asking this morning on this Child Dedication Sunday is, how can parents pass the baton of faith to God in future generations? Parents must be careful to walk in obedience before God. Second, parents must be consumed with loving their God. And then parents must be committed to entrusting God's truth to their children. Let me end with a couple questions, and we have these up on the screen here for you as parents. Number one, is there any area of your life where God is calling you to turn from either wrong thinking or maybe even sinful behavior? Any area of your life, as you're listening this morning, as you're hearing the Word of God, that God is convicting you, the Spirit of God is showing you, this is an area where I need to change my thinking, or this is an area where I need to change my actions in my life? And then second, is there an action that God's urging you to take? What are you going to do? What action are you going to take? If you're a parent this morning, or if you're not, in passing that spiritual baton on to the next generation, what's God calling you to do? What's God calling you to do? Let me end with this. My son Luke is in the middle of baseball season right now, and the last 2 weeks, I'm still thawing from yesterday's game, actually, outside in a Minnesota spring. But let me close with a baseball analogy for you as parents as you think about those questions. As a parent, don't be passive. Don't be passive. Like you're at the plate as a baseball hitter, and you're just like bat on your shoulder watching pitch after pitch whiz by with no movement. Just totally passive. Don't be that parent. Don't just stand up there motionless. But step up to the plate, figuratively, with confidence and swing the bat. Swing the bat. As a parent, do what God has called you to do. Do it with the power of God's strength, with God's grace, not your own strength, but step up to the plate, swing the bat, be the spiritual leaders that God has called you to be. Because who else is going to? It's you. God's given you and I that responsibility. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you. Thank you for that incredible responsibility that you've given us as parents and every single follower of Jesus to pass that baton spiritually to the next generation. Lord, guide us, help us, strengthen us for that task. Thank you that you have given us your grace and your power through your Holy Spirit to be used by you. We thank you for, Lord, the experience of the gospel in our own lives. And Lord, we pray that as we grow in our love for you, because you loved us so much, that we would respond in sharing that love with others around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.